Okay.
You're not prepared? Can't do it?
Choking? I'm never prepared. Under pressure? I'm always choking.
All right.
I'm always an under pressure. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Sneak, sneak, baby. Hi everyone, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick, and his name is Ian Boothby. And I'd like to say a few things about us right now. What's that? You wanted to say something?
No, normally I say my own name. We're changing our...
I don't think so.
Oh, okay, continue.
I have nothing left to say. Actually, no, I do have some things to say. I want to remind everyone that we'll be at Fan Expo sometime in April.
Vancouver Fan Expo. There's others. There's Calgary Fan Expo. We'll be at that one? No. Toronto Fan Expo.
No.
We're going to be at that one? No. Adelaide Fan Expo. No dice.
No dice.
Paraguay Fan Expo. No Siribob.
Not at all. Antarctica Fan Expo? No.
No.
We won't be there. We'll be at the Van Fan Expo.
That's right.
And then we'll also be at Van Caf.
Sounds made up.
Van Cafe?
That is the caffeinated Comic-Con.
That's right.
So you get a free caffeinated beverage when you get... You either get a Coke, a coffee, mm-hmm. or a 5-hour energy drink when you come in.
Different from Venice Cafe?
Right. And that one's running a solid 72 hours straight. No naps.
No naps at all.
That's right.
And we'll be doing something there. We'll be doing a process show mm-hmm. at Van Caf. We'll be doing a process show.
What's that mean, Dave?
I have no idea.
Well, that's a bloody lie because... David has been doing process posts on our website, if you see.
Okay.
So you clearly know what a process situation is.
Is that what we're doing? We're doing like a process show?
Well, I believe what we're doing is first of all, we have a special guest.
We do have a special guest on the show.
And that gentleman's name is
Adolf Hitler.
Really? And we're going to see what his process was.
That's right.
Okay.
What exactly were you
thinking?
Mein
Kampf can be your Kampf is the name of the thing.
Is this not a strange conversation that people always have?
On podcasts? They're all strange conversations on podcasts.
It always
all unnatural, all make no damn sense.
Always comes down to Hitler.
Yeah.
That's the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Hitler.
Well, this internet. Was Hitler's full plan. Was he had the internet involved.
Exactly.
That was the Fifth Reich.
Early on.
That's right. Yeah. It was going to... He was going like, once we get World Wide Web, baby, mm-hmm. then we're cooking.
Yeah.
And it was strange that he talked like a jazz musician.
Yeah.
That was very strange that he talked like that. But if you heard him in private, he was all like, baby... Now we're cooking. And he was
today, Poland, tomorrow's a World Wide Web.
That's right.
That's what he
said. That was exactly the way he was going to do it. He had a lot of online games,
mm-hmm.
Terribly racist games, very angry birds.
Very angry birds?
Very, very angry birds. Yeah.
Okay.
And the like.
Okay.
I was going to sub joke with Bejeweled, but no, I'm not doing it. Anyway, what we've got is it was called Dejeweled.
Yes. Yes.
I'm so very sorry.
Put a nickel in the heat printer.
I will. I'm pretty happy with the joke, but I realize it was wrong.
Yes.
It's basically like when you kick a cat and mm-hmm. you know you shouldn't be kicking the cat, but it goes so far that you go, that was a damn good kick. It's a mix of pride and shame.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm really sorry, but it made it to the roof. Come on, give me that one.
What I was going to bring up was the fact that when you're talking to people about World War II,
mm-hmm.
they'll always say, you know what Hitler shouldn't have done? He shouldn't have opened the Second Front and gone into Russia. That was his mistake. Like, as if it's a good idea. Like, so instead of going back into the past to kill Hitler, we'll go back in the past and help Hitler.
Right.
We'll be like, no, don't go into Russia yet. Mm-hmm. Don't open a Second Front. That's not going to work out well for you.
Mm-hmm.
What you got to do is, you know, keep them quiet until you can finish off the Western Front, then go into the East.
Right.
Like, aren't we happy that he lost? Aren't we happy he made bad decisions?
I am happy because otherwise how would we do these cheap jokes? Anyway, we're at Van Caf and our guest is going to be Colin, what, Cast? Van Caf. I got it right?
Oh, sorry. I said Van Cast, didn't I?
Did you?
I said it wrong. I think I did.
Because it stands for Comics Arts Festival.
Is that what it stands for?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. DVD stands for?
Digital Video Disc.
No. Nope. Digital Versatile Disc.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
Digital Video Disc.
It certainly does not.
I believe if you look it up on Google,
mm-hmm.
you will find that it stands for Digital Underground Disc.
Right. Thank you for turning our podcast into a den of lies. Colin Upton, who's one of my big inspirations for cartooning, will be our guest. And we'll be talking about process in that how do you do comics? Because he's a comic book artist. What inspires you to do comics? All the different levels. When David does his process posts online, it's mostly technical.
Yes.
He does not let you into his head. He's a very private individual.
Very private.
You know, here's the thing. Most of our shows begin with, "Hey, David, how's it going?" And he says, "Who wants to know?" And from there, it's cold, icy silence.
That's right.
Like I'm trying to talk to a guy on an airplane ride on a 12-hour flight, and he's going, "I'm not starting this off because I don't have to talk to you all the way to Australia." I've mentioned Australia twice for some reason. I'd like to go to Australia, I think. Anyway, Dave, somber individual. But if you want to see us in person, we're there at VanCaf. We're also going to be at Vancouver Fan Expo. And Vancouver Fan Expo, our guest, is going to be...
Adolf Hitler.
God damn it. No, it's not. It's going to be my wife, Pia Guerra. But she's not there because she's my wife. She's there because she is a comic book artist.
Mm-hmm.
And she is fantastic. And we're lucky to have her. And I've got an in.
I was going to say, it's an easy get.
It's not.
She can't say no.
It's not. She can't.
She can't say no to you, Ian.
Really?
Love, honor, and obey.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, Dave is also a married man, and so he knows that is bullshit. Yeah, your wife can't say no to you, right? That's why everything that you ever ask, it's a big old yes.
It's a big old yes.
Yes. That's the thing. It's like once you say I do, it's a big road full of green lights from that point on, buddy. Everyone's agreeing on everything all the way down the line.
I have an improv marriage, so no blocking, no wimping.
Mm-hmm.
It
gets a little tiresome after 6 minutes.
That's right. Whoops.
Wave it down.
Wait a second.
Wave it down. No. It's so on and so forth.
That's right. We have a little horn that goes off. Someone throws me on the stage.
Yeah. So anyway, come see us. We're going to be doing this kind of nonsense live. And we can actually see you yawning. And then we'll know to move on.
That's right. We don't know when to stop. Without you here.
We really don't.
I have terrible social skills. So I would
probably... Well, you keep bringing up Hitler. That's the damn problem. By the way, I had a dinner with strangers 2 weeks ago.
The video?
Is that a movie?
That's dinner a movie, I think. Isn't it Dinner with Strangers?
Oh, very nice.
Okay.
But it was a dinner party, and the idea behind it was friends of ours had this dinner party at their house, and it was like, why not all get together, and it's different people, and I'd never met any of these people before, and it was nice. And two things. One, I thought every woman that was there could have done better than the fella she was with.
I often think that.
Yeah. And two...
Ladies, up your game.
Yep. And two, Hitler got brought up like real fast. Really fast.
Do you know why?
Tell me.
Internet.
No, it was because, it might have been internet. Also, it could have been that the person was German and had just visited someone's house who asked her, hey, in Germany, do they ever teach you about Hitler?
Is that right?
Yeah. And I was like, what? That happened? It was like, yeah. Do they teach you about Hitler? Yeah. You know, we learn about Hitler. What do they say? They just tell us the history. Do they say it was bad? Yeah, it was bad. It was very, very bad. It's like, well, let me tell you something. And they just had...
Of course it was bad. That's why we're all shitting on each other.
But
that's
it was someone who needed to unload, obviously. And so that was the trigger situation. And there you go. I've got a relative like that who, like, once you sit down, will tell you their communist manifesto. They will just tell you everything politically that they feel, you know, over and... I've heard the same thing over and over again. They actually have... They have articles online. They have papers they will bring out and want you to read. And they're not in English. They are in Spanish. And I'm like, I can't read. Well, you could get someone to translate you. I'm like, oh, son of a bitch. Anyway, that's but the dinner party was good aside from that.
Aside from this. Oh,
actually,
that's a story.
Even the Hitler.
Wait a second. It's a story. The person who asked the question wasn't there, though, right?
No. The person who asked the question was not
there. So really,
you're
just getting an enjoyable anecdote.
But let me tell
you
the thing about that I thought with all the dudes that were there. There was the dudes and the ladies, and there was quite a few couples. And I thought Dave, by the way, is right now adjusting his microphone. And the dudes in no way seemed to care.
It's being weird to me.
What the ladies had to say. They would let the ladies talk to the ladies, and the dudes just wanted to talk to the dudes and just wanted to like joke around a lot.
Yeah.
And like, I'm all for a joke around, but someone's talking. Listen to what
I've
they
never
have
noticed
to...
that on this show.
Who's the lady in this group? Man, I have been chastised.
I'm just joking with you.
Are you?
That's a tease.
Is it a joke or is it one of those jokes that's wrapped around a truth? A solid, hard truth.
Ian, you just can't take a taunt. You just can't take a malicious taunt. I don't understand. Go on.
Is this an iron fist?
I don't want to take you off the track that you're on because
that was
interesting.
It was interesting. It was just like strange to see like how these fellas didn't really seem to care about what the women were talking about, and like the second
should they?
Yes.
Why, though? Why?
Because they're talking. Well, one.
I mean, are they talking over them, or are they just different conversations going on?
Here's what it is. It's lack of interest mm-hmm. in what they have to say.
Yeah.
And to me, if someone's saying something next to me, you should listen to them.
What if they're a bore?
What if they're a bore? If they start completely repeating themselves, mm-hmm. I understand what you're saying there.
Yeah.
But if they're giving you new information, just fucking listen. How hard is that?
What if they're talking about they're bored on Pinterest? Can you listen then? Can you?
Well, what's the Pinterest board? Like, there's different topics on Pinterest.
Are there? I don't know. They all look like they're cupcakes.
All right. Well, you've just brought up something you know nothing of. And you've started slamming it.
No,
haven't you, sir?
I just said it had cupcakes on it.
Yes,
are you telling me it doesn't have cupcakes on it?
I believe there were probably one cupcake.
Does it have curtains? Pictures of curtains?
Sir, you could say anything at this point.
Does it have pictures of curtains?
You could say anything.
I think it has
clothing. Does it have puppies? Indeed it does. Does the internet have cats? Indeed it does.
Does it have pornography?
Cats. Indeed it does. Pinterest has everything.
Pinterest has pornography.
Oh, probably.
You've got me interested.
You know what I'm going to say?
Pinterest.
It has erotica.
Oh, that's different.
I'm sure. No, it isn't.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it depends what you do with it. You can turn erotica into pornography with a couple of simple hand moves.
Is that right?
Yes.
Swipe.
All you got to do is turn the lights off, and all of a sudden that erotica becomes pornography. Okay. Yes.
All right.
And as we know, Dave and I once crossed the border, and we were mm-hmm. told by a border guard that something is pornography if they say it's pornography.
Yeah.
So that's how – it's basically like –
Did he say that, or did he say it's offensive if I say it's offensive?
No.
It's pornography.
Yeah, because here's the story in a nutshell. Crossing the border, I had a comic that I wrote, and the word fuck was in it. And he went, why are you bringing pornography across the border? And I said, it's not pornography. He replied, it's pornography if I say it's pornography.
Okay.
To which Dave replied, I have to go to the bathroom. Can I go to the bathroom? And they went, no, because you can't go to the bathroom when you're crossing the border because you could like poop out your cocaine. Of course, you're not going to let the guy go to the bathroom.
My feeling is when you're nervous, you need a hit
of cocaine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you need to poop it out. Do it up your
nose.
Do a snort.
Go back out.
Put it back up your bum.
Go back out there, a sweating, nervous wretch.
Yeah.
Then approach the border.
Right. A couple of seasons of Saturday Night Live.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. But that's how pornography becomes pornography is a border guard has to bless it up and go, it is now porn. It's like holy water. How do you make holy water into holy water? A priest has to come out. Yeah, a priest pees in it.
Yeah.
Or just spits. Holy now.
That's right.
Done.
It's done.
Go fight a vampire.
He just does the dust off his hands, although he's had no dust. But he dusts them off anyway. That's right.
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
Dust to dust.
Now, I got a question for you. You are a gym goer.
I am a gym goer.
Often you go after the show.
Almost always.
You will eat a bacon cheeseburger.
Yes.
And then you will sweat pork.
And then I will go, I'll have a guilt out.
Yes. You will sweat gravy. Then you will dab your forehead and you will save the gravy for later.
For later.
I'll suck on the napkin
on the way home.
I will probably be going to the gym later myself.
Good for you.
Thank you very much. But here's my problem with the gym. They have three TVs that are always on. One is the news.
Boring.
All right. One is usually some sort of CBC program.
Boring.
Food Network in the middle. And always it's Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. And it's like, this is not
that
the thing to have.
In a gym.
In a gym at all. What is the food goddamn network doing on here? You're making all the great... like
that seems weird because like our gym, it's all sports.
Is it? Well, usually that's why CBC's on, because they play the sports a lot. So that if sports is on, then that's the hockey is over there.
Yeah, but not very often. They don't have hockey on Saturdays.
Dude, I don't know. From hockey, I don't know. All I'm telling you is there's the Food Network in the middle, which is wrong.
Oh, no, I agree with you.
Thank you.
It's boring.
Do you know the most boring... we'll talk about boring things now. Do you know what the most boring food show... I saw it the other day. What would you say the most boring food show is? And it's not on the Food Network.
It's not on the Food Network. Okay. I don't know. I can't think of any other.
Okay. Well, there's shows that are like The Voice. And they've got a show now sort of based on The Voice.
Okay.
But now, the idea behind The Voice...
Okay.
Yeah, and it's called The Taste.
The Taste, yeah.
And here is an episode...
One of the judges is...
Anthony Bourdain.
Is Nigella Lawson.
Nigella?
The toothsome Nigella Lawson.
Yeah? The hubba hubba.
Mm-hmm.
How do you like this?
Her dad was the Chancellor of the Exchequer.
Oh, I bet.
Under Margaret Thatcher.
I am going to be... Ooh, you don't want to be under Margaret Thatcher.
I meant under her... Well, she was Prime Minister.
Oh, I understand. Because you know what? In no way is Nigella Lawson Margaret Thatcher's child. He definitely was in love with a beautiful lady. She's a beautiful woman.
She's very lovely.
And Anthony Bourdain will put anything in his yap hole. That's his thing. He'll do anything.
Well, he's talking.
Yeah, he'll go around the world and it's like it's a screaming, living, mm-hmm. There we go. That's good
his
for you.
His book, Around the World in 80 Plates. Tee.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. But he was talking about his denture work. The point is, here's how the show goes down. You see a little clip. First of all, they have tons of, you know, these are the people, all the people, like all the hosts. Too much bullshit off the top. Here's how.
You don't need that.
You don't need any of that crap. Just start the damn show. Yeah. Price is Right doesn't start with like
a history of Bob Barker.
Yeah, of course it doesn't.
Bob Barker was born in 1892. Yeah.
Pricing began. We don't need that shit. Just like start the damn show. Here's the contestants. Begin it. Mm-hmm. So here's how the show begins with the taste. Is you see someone and it's like a normal American person. And it's the I got a big.
So they're fat.
No, actually, they're all good looking because it's TV.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right. So it's like, I got a dream and I'm going to make my dream come true. I got a dream. Oh,
because their mom is sick.
Sick mom comes second. There's tragic story is second. First story is young person, usually hot gal with a dream.
With a dream.
With a dream, baby. Yep. And so you see her and like, I got a dream. And then she walks into the, and so it's just like seconds of, I've got a dream. Then it's, she walks into, you see her shopping for like a second. Like she's picking up a head of lettuce and looking at it. That's it. That's enough of that. We don't need to
change. She's standing in front of the Washington Monument. I have a dream.
Basically. Okay. Basically, you will see a little bit of her in front of wherever, you know, if she's from St. Louis, you'll see the St. Louis pedophile will walk by. I think that's...
that's a famous thing in
St. That's their mascot, the St. Louis
Saint
pedophile.
Louis.
Yeah.
I think it's called St. Louis.
I know, but St. Louis is the name of the pedophile.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
He's a
sainted, Louis, because St. Louis...
He was peed on by a priest.
Yes.
Okay.
So
that's why they're called pedophiles.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Dave's quite the whiz kid. Anyway, so you got this thing. So, all right, we're at the supermarket for like microseconds. Just like if it's the person shopping for shrimp, they're like,
okay,
is this shrimp fresh? Yes. And that's enough. Done. Yeah. We're fucking done. All right. Into the kitchen. And you see that they've got an hour to cook a thing. And you're like, oh, we're going to see them cook it. Fuck no, you're not. Like 5 seconds top.
They don't show them cooking it?
No, they pick up like a pan. Done. We're done. Stop it. Move on. We're bored. Okay. It's like, Jesus Christ. All right. And then
what's there left to show?
All right. Well, I'll tell you. So now we're on the panel of four people and they all have a spoon. Mm-hmm. And on this spoon is this little dish. And so they put the dish in their mouth. And I go, you see them doing that. And then they'll
talk. They have a mic right close up to their mouth.
They do. It's like, like it's really, you got to turn down your surround sound or you throw up. And then it's like, that's
their intestines are mic'd.
Really? And there's always going to be one positive, one negative.
Of course.
And then one is like some random shit. So the one is just like, that's really good. And the next one is like, I think it's a bit sweet. And they're like, I like their use of salsa verde, which you normally don't mix with coconut. There's some fucking trivia. Okay. Next thing you see is like, now we're done. Done with that. Moving on. Okay. So they have these people in like a closet that then they like slide a door open and they're standing there smiling awkwardly because they've been in this weird closet and just like,
is it soundproofed?
I don't know.
Okay.
So they open the door and it's like, so this was your dish, shrimp salsa verde. Yes. It was really good. I found it a little sweet. Oh, I'm sorry. I really enjoyed it. I'm really glad to hear that. And then they hit a yes or no button.
If
they all hit no.
They have to have a button.
Yeah. If they all hit no, then the door slams shut and we never see this person again. They become the ingredient for the next recipe. And that's how it goes. And so, but if they do, I like you, you'll be on my team. Then it's like, oh, that's great. And you think you're going to see them. Maybe you'll see them on a later show. But for this one, no. Door shuts again. Now we're done. Next person. Repeat. So the next one is my mama, who's sick with the shovel in the head. You know, she always told me about my dreams. And now I hope we can get that shovel out of her head. And if I can open my restaurant. That's the ambulance, by the way, taking Mama away.
That's the noisiest fire engine we've had so far, I think.
And by the way, if Mama has a shovel in your head, they're going through. Because the one with the sob story always goes through. Because you can't you can't have like, I've had my babies exploding. Every day they're exploding. They're full of firecrackers. And I got to get those firecrackers out of them. And every day they explode.
That's a terrible disease.
Yeah. And so, they always have that. And so that's the show. And it's boring as hell. You don't see anyone cook. You don't have a real long discussion about what the food is like.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get it's just dull as dishwater. The taste, it's terrible.
Well, thanks for that.
You know what's a good show though? King of the Nerds.
King of the Nerds.
Well worth a watch.
What channel is that on?
I believe that is on Slice in Canada. I believe it's on TBS in the States. And the idea is it's a bunch of nerds and they're competing to see who's going to be King of the Nerds. And it's all the reality show setup, but not terrible.
Okay.
But sweet. It's actually sweet. No one's an asshole. They keep having ads for like the Real Housewives of whatever, and you see them all being horrible bitches.
Yeah.
And it's like, everyone's pretty much nice. And if they're jerky, they're jerky in a nerdy way.
Yeah.
It's like, here was the final thing. Okay, I'll tell you one of the things I did on the first show and why I liked it. Am I talking too much, David?
That's fine.
Okay.
You're filling time.
All right. I just see you nodding, and I'm like worried that you have something to say, and I'm like fine. Being Johnny Mike
Hogg. No. You're fine.
All right, here's what they did on the first show, which I'll tell you what that I like. It's like, so you get all the nerds out, and there's nerds that like, he's a neuroscientist. She's a Batman fan.
Yeah.
You know, this person's a cosplayer. Okay, it's all nerdy archetypes, and it's young people. And so they have two team captains, and then they pick the nerds they want on their team, but there's one nerd remaining. So you're thinking like, on any other show, this person gets voted off. Wrong, my friend. It ends with like them going, well, there's nothing nerdier than not getting picked for a team, so you have immunity. It's like, you've won this one by not getting picked by the other nerds.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, because you're the nerd of the nerds.
Yeah.
I was like, nice. And they end the episode, you know, normally they'll end something with, you got to do something with paintballs being shot at your head or some bullshit on any other fucking show. And we're going to throw in a twist. And the twist is you got to do this while looking at a picture of your dead mom or something horrible. Just horrible. Here was how they ended this one. The two people that got voted to, you know, one of these going to get voted off, they had to play chess. They played living chess, so it was interesting, but it was a game of chess.
Yeah.
It was like a legitimate game of chess. And it was like, yeah, that's fine. I'm in. I like it.
I'm sure it was a bit edited.
Probably, yeah. You don't see the whole game of chess.
See the whole...
And for the most recent episode, they had to do a trivia contest about fictional lands. But they were all fair questions. They were all good, nerdy questions.
Yeah.
Then they had to roll a 20-sided die down a hill, giant 20-sided die, and okay. knock over fictional characters. And like, if you hit the Black Knight, it was worth like 1,000 points. And if you hit a little gnome, it was worth like 100. And it was great. It was really, really fun.
Huh.
So good show. King of the Nerds. Well worth a watch.
Sounds interesting.
Thank you very much.
You say it's on Slice in Canada.
That's right.
On TBS, you think, in the States?
I believe so, yeah. Just look it up. Check out your local
And what listings. Time is it on at?
Like 8-ish, maybe,
okay.
maybe 8 o'clock.
I'll look.
It's a G-rated show.
I will
watch
check
it with the family.
I'll check the TV guide and see when it's on.
Yeah, they'll have like as a judge, a George Takei, a guy from a Buffy, a very sexy cosplayer dressed as Chun-Li. Something for the dads, as they say.
Dressed as Chun-Li?
Yeah.
Who is Chun-Li?
She is from Street Fighter.
Oh, okay.
She is the sexy lady from Street Fighter.
Aren't they all sexy ladies in Street Fighter?
I'm trying to think of Blanca's a lady. Yeah, they're all sexy. They're not dead or alive, stupid sexy. Like what they did on this episode, they had a cosplay contest.
Okay.
That's great. Like you got to dress sci-fi style. You got to dress fantasy style. Okay. You're the good guys. You're the bad guys.
Do they have to make their own costumes?
Yes. They got to build their own costumes. And then they have to make up names for themselves and give like, what's your backstory of all of you guys? Why you're all together and do a little scene. And that's what they have to do. It's good stuff.
Okay.
It's not people being assholes. And I love a reality show where the whole thing is, you know, it's not, I didn't come here to make friends. It's like, yeah, it'd be nice to make some friends. I'm all for that. I'd like to see, I always want to see a reality show called I'm Here to Make Friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thanks for hogging the mic and telling that story.
Sure.
Mike Hogg.
Well, let's get on with our rap battle. Okay. No.
My name is Dave and I'm here to say all white people rap this way.
In the 80s.
In the 80s, anytime.
I think it's changed since then.
Okay.
A young man named Marshall Mathers has changed that.
Has changed that. Oh, now they yell?
Yes, now they yell.
Now they yell at really loudly.
Exactly.
He was funny.
He was funny.
For a short time.
Mm-hmm.
Then he stopped.
I don't know. I don't really follow him. You're the music guy.
But that's why you stopped following him, is that the humor stopped.
I'm so happy that last week they had a musician on and you were able to talk a little music with him.
We did get a little
and
music
And drop some bands and you did some deep cuts and you did some chatting. It was great.
Is that right? Did
nice.
We do some deep cuts?
A little bit. You started talking about different albums. And you were like, well, I like this. Well, I saw them at this concert. Well, they had this song. Well, they must have had this album at that point. No, that was before. And I was like, this is nice stuff. Dave's enjoying himself.
I looked it up because we were talking about Belle and Sebastian. And so I was curious when they came. And so it was 2002 that they were here on that tour. And they played at a very small hall here in Vancouver called the Croatian Cultural Center.
Oh, yes, yes.
Like you can tell it's small because it's called the Croatian Cultural Center.
Yes.
Which is a great place to see bands. I saw Sloan there.
Is that up the street from us right now? Is that the one? That
no, well, it's on Commercial. Like if you went up Commercial.
Oh, I know one you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah, and it kind of curves around. And
I'm trying to think if I performed there at any time, but I think I've seen comedy
sure you
there.
Sure you have. Sure
I probably
have.
It's
a popular place to do things. And
now, did they play our theme song at that concert?
No, I don't believe that album was out at the time.
Okay.
That's a later one.
All right.
That's the B-side to I'm Waking Up to Us.
Aw.
I Love My Dog. Yes.
Yeah, hopefully they never find out we're using their song. If you guys know Belle and Sebastian, shut your yap holes. Do not tell them we're using their
or
song.
Or subtly suggest that it would be nice of them to donate their song to a struggling little podcast that thinks it can.
Otherwise, we're going to have to use a Jonathan Coulton song or something because those are public domain.
Are they?
Yeah.
Then why is he in a big... Oh, there's knickers in a twist over at Glee using his song.
Oh, here's why. Because they... Here's... You can if you...
And why is he wearing knickers?
Hmm?
I said, why is he wearing knickers?
Oh, because it's Knickerbocker Monday.
Oh, okay.
Did you know it was Knickerbocker
Monday? It's not Monday. But anyway.
Not anymore.
Why is he...
But when he got mad, it was.
Oh, when he was... Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Go on.
Now he got his panties in a bunch.
Now he's got his panties in a bunch.
Because it's Panty Bunch Thursday.
It's Panty Bunch Thursday. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So why was he...
Tomorrow's Stick Up Your Ass Friday.
That's the day I like. So why was he... Why
you're
was...
a fan of marionettes.
Why was he upset?
Here's the thing. He's got a thing with his music where you are allowed, if you want, to use it. Say you want to make your own videos out of his music. He's mm-hmm. fine with that.
Okay.
But what he did was he did an arrangement of the song Baby's Got Back. And it was a very...
That's not his song?
No, it's not his song.
The
song
okay, so
Babies,
he just...
The song Babies Got Back is definitely not his song.
I don't know. I don't even know what song that is.
Oh, okay. I could play it for you at some point.
No, sing it for me now.
I like big butts and I cannot lie.
That's the song?
Yeah, that's the song.
That's what it's called? Babies Got Back?
Yeah, Babies Got Back.
Okay,
Babies Got Back.
Okay, I know that song now.
You other brothers can't deny. When a girl walks out,
I thought it was called
Big Waist and a Big Thing in Your Face, you get sprung.
Yeah.
All right. Don't
I thought it was called I Like Big Butts.
Well, that's fair enough.
Because that's a better name.
So he did a smooth romantic version of that song.
And what
they did was they did not play his song. Like him, if they played him doing the song.
Yeah.
And went, it's Jonathan Coulton.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But what they did was they took his arrangement of the song
mm-hmm.
and they did it on Glee.
Yes.
They had someone else sing it. Now, there's a line in there where he actually... now, here's how directly a lift it was. There's a line in there that is not in the original song where he changes it to Johnny C's in Trouble. That's his name. Jonathan Coulton.
Yeah.
Johnny C's in Trouble. So give me a little bit of that bubble. And they actually had that line in there. So they so directly lifted it. Mm-hmm. They didn't go, hey, this line isn't in the original song.
Yeah.
They just lifted his version completely.
Wow.
So therein lies the difference.
Okay, I see that.
Yeah. But what he has done now is he has put his version onto iTunes and it is selling better than the Glee version. So, and he's giving his money to charity because he's nice.
I have one song from Glee on my iPod.
I think I might have two, but what's your
song?
What
do you have? What do you have?
I don't know right now.
Oh, okay. I have...
I think it might have been Safety Dance. It might have been their version of Safety Dance.
Yeah. Okay.
What's yours?
Mine's Poker Face.
The
Lady Gaga song. I really like their arrangement of that song.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the Lady Gaga song.
Fair enough.
Like, I don't like it at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like their version. And what's nice about listening to it on iTunes, on your headphones, is you don't have to look at their enormous teeth as they're singing. Because those ladies have enormous teeth.
They do.
Which is maybe why the men were ignoring the ladies talking at the party.
Oh, that could be.
The enormous teeth.
Right.
It's scary.
That is a possibility.
It's scary.
Jonathan Coulton did the end song to Portal, the game Portal.
Okay.
And it's...
Did the game end?
Yes. It ends well. Both the Portal games...
So there's no more Portals coming out anymore?
Okay. That's a good question, Dave. Let me answer that question. Portal 1 ends on a cliffhanger. Portal 2 ends...
With a Jonathan Coulton song.
Both of them end with Jonathan Coulton songs.
But his song is called Cliffhanger.
No, it is not.
Oh, okay.
No. I wish I could remember the name of the song. It's something... It was a song. Ah, damn it. Still Alive. That's the name of the song.
Baby's Got Portal.
That's right. The name is song is Still Alive, and it's a great song that ends Portal number 1, and there's a really good song that ends Portal number 2 as well. But Portal number 2 wraps up the full storyline. But the storyline to Portal is really good if you play through the game.
Hmm.
Yeah. Portal's great, by the way. If you got a person in your life who is not a huge video game fan... Portal might still win them over because it's a good puzzly game that it's fun to do together.
My daughter Phyllis enjoys that game quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Has she played the second the Portal?
I don't know. I don't ask those sort of questions.
No, because never ask a question of.
I did not know that there were two.
All right, here's the thing: it's important for a father to not have any interest in their daughter. That way, when they have a boyfriend who doesn't care what they say.
Hello.
Is your mic on? Are you okay?
I knew that she was playing Portal.
Right.
I just did not.
Because she left it on the computer when she
left. No.
You came in the room and she went, "Father's here. I must get back to my schooling." And then she left.
Playing at a friend's house. She's playing Portal at a friend's house.
Right, because you do not allow video games.
We don't have a video game player.
That is not true. You have a computer. You can play Portal on any computer.
Okay.
And by the way, I gave you a video game player. What happened to it?
It broke.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It just, you know, it kind of wore out.
After
these things happened.
It was only 25 years old.
Sorry.
Come on.
Young children.
All right. That's good.
Sensitive devices.
I'm glad it got played to the point of breaking.
It got played a lot.
Good, I'm glad.
Guitar Hero was... The girls could play it without thinking.
Oh, I forgot about that one. I was thinking about the Dreamcast a million years ago.
Oh, yeah. No, no.
That's even older.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Dreamcast.
But no, Portal's fantastic. There's a new game. Oh, I forget the name of it, but I've actually played it. It's like Quantum something that's also a game by the makers of Portal and quite good.
Quantum Physics?
No.
Quantum Leap?
No. None of those things.
Hmm.
None whatsoever.
I can't. You're not going to let me make a guess?
Sure. Go ahead.
Quantum Doors? I saw that when I was driving here today. That was a company name on a truck. Quantum Doors. I was like, what? They go to another dimension?
Yes,
like,
they do.
Like, why would you call your name? That seems scary now.
That was the plot
of... This is a quantum door.
Monsters, Inc., wasn't it? They had quantum doors.
I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
Are you looking forward to Monsters University?
No.
Why not?
Did not care for Monsters, Inc.
You didn't like Monsters, Inc.?
Nah. Didn't land with me that much.
I think I know why.
I don't like monsters?
Because you're a scaredy cat.
Yeah, it was terrifying. That was my problem.
Yeah.
I'm a scared.
You were just, it reminded you too much of your childhood. Being terrified of the closet.
Oh, I was, but I don't know. I can only take so much Billy Crystal.
Okay.
It's like, ah, that's fine.
Really?
Didn't both of them become the M&M's guys? Like, isn't the exact same voice?
Did they?
Isn't it John?
I don't know.
What's his name? John Goodman?
No, it's the guy from...
And Billy Crystal?
No.
Oh, it was John Lovitz.
It's John Lovitz, yeah.
Who was the original big M&M dumb guy? Wasn't that John Goodman?
I don't remember.
And then they got replaced by the guy who was J. Jonah Jameson and someone else.
Is that right?
Yeah, I believe so.
What's their comedy?
Well, the guy who was J. Jonah Jameson, of course, has a comedy background.
He does?
He's very well. J. Jonah Jameson's comedy, isn't it?
Well, you know, he plays him kind of a broad manner,
he's
but
he's pretty hilarious in movies. That guy,
is he?
Yes.
Like what?
Like what? He's funny in your Junos. He's funny.
He's good in Juno, but once again, he's playing a straight part in a comedy film. He's not really funny. He's
okay,
funny
well,
because
J. Jonah
of his
Jameson
reaction.
Is a straight out comedy character.
It's broadly played.
Yes, but that's a comedy character.
But I don't think of him as a comedy actor. Like, the things I see him in, he's not hilarious.
When he was
a psychologist on Law & Order, hilarious.
Okay. And
when he was the sheriff in The Gift, my God, I fell on the floor
and
laughing.
And he's in Oz as well. I understand that. But, you know, you also...
That's right.
Yeah.
I didn't see Oz, but he was in Oz as well.
Yeah, he's a rapist.
Thanks for helping my argument.
He's a racist rapist.
He's a racist rapist.
Look, if I had a chance to look this guy's
resume
up...
I think they're just called
up.
Rapist. They just combine the two words together.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's no different... It's like... It's one of the things where distinctions aren't cost effective.
Mm.
So if someone's a racist, that's one thing. If they're a rapist, that's one thing. But if they're a racist rapist, they're just a rapist.
Yeah, because you're worried about... it's the bottom
it's nothing,
line on
yeah,
your budget.
You don't have to worry about it.
Right. Now, he's done a lot of comedy work lately, and damn if I can remember a damn thing right now.
Well, I mean, I know he was in Juno.
Once again...
And he was very good in Juno.
Three damn computers. Four, actually, right now that I could look things up on. But I'm not going to because that bothers Dave when I look things up. Because he's worried I'll find out things about him.
That's right.
Are you Googling me? Are you Googling me? Which is why I won't let his daughters use the computer at home.
Yeah.
You looking up your old man? Mind your business.
I think it's called,
back to school.
I always think it's called goggle, though, so I get it mixed up. Because I am old, right? So.
Right.
Are you goggling me? Quit goggling on the computer all the time. Turn off that goddamn goggle. Those sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
The girls love it.
Oh,
they think
do.
It's hilarious.
They do.
It's great.
Little out-of-date references from their paw.
That's right.
Well, the thing you don't know is Dave lives his life like Little House on the Prairie.
Why?
He calls his kids half pint. He's got a Michael Landon haircut.
I make them brush their hair 100 times
each
night.
He made one of his
night.
Daughters go blind just because, you know, when the ratings got bad.
Yeah, the ratings got bad. I threw flour in her eyes. I'm kind of cruel that way.
Yeah, there's a little boy that visits. He set the church on fire.
I made them flip a coin to decide who was going to go blind.
Yep, that's fair.
Well, you let random chance decide.
That's right.
I didn't tell them which choice would be
because Dave
blinded,
is also a two-faced enthusiast.
A two-faced enthusiast.
Yeah.
Huge fan of Two-Face.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember on the show who was the kid who like burnt down like the church or something. That was a big thing. It was like they were smoking in the basement. Yeah, it was a boy. He was smoking in the basement and then like the church burned down and that was a big deal.
Gilbert.
I think you're thinking Anna Green Gables.
I hate you, Gilbert, whatever, Gottfried.
Yeah.
Never come to this town again.
What's going?
What are you trying to say? I don't understand what you... Oh,
wow. Was that your Gilbert Gottfried?
No, it's terrible. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I was doing it the other day, and I was doing it great, and I tried to do it, and I was...
Is that terrible? I've done that, too, where you just nail an impression so dead on.
I'm going to try and bring it back again.
Oh, I do that watching TV all the time next to Pia, and I'll do a voice, and I'll do it spot on. She'll go, do that again. Cannot do it. The phlegm has to be just right. Has to be leaning back in this direction. I have to have a cat on my chest.
Gilbert Gottfried was on one of those cooking challenge shows where they have celebrities.
Hated that.
celebrities.
So much that made
he,
me so
he was voted off the first episode.
Yeah, what the fuck was that? Did you watch that episode?
No, but Lisa watched it. And she became interested.
Did she get annoyed? Did she get annoyed by
that?
I don't
think she was annoyed by it because she's not like a fan of him or anything. So she wasn't like going to miss him the way you apparently did.
Yeah, he was the only reason I was watching the show.
Of course, he's a stand-up comic. They took the stand-up comic off. What were they thinking?
He
was not a good chef. Sorry, Ian. He wasn't a good chef. You just don't leave a guy on because he's funny.
Okay. Here's what happened on the show that was so fucking stupid. Was they had a thing where it was like, you're going to make dinner theater. All right. So here's the thing.
You're going to make dinner theater.
Right. Dinner theater. So you're going to make a meal and you're going to do a show. That was the idea.
Okay.
So they pick their teams.
So he told the Aristocats joke. Aristocats joke. Yes, he told the Aristocats joke.
The answer is, yeah, the punchline is pussy galore. So they pick their teams. This is Guy and Rachel. By the way, two lovely voices, soothing voices, both of them.
Hello, okay. Guy.
That's right. And and so they pick their teams, and Gilbert's the last guy to get picked.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of sad, right? Mm-hmm. It's like sad that he's the last guy to get picked. So listen, if you know...
I was always in that position as a child.
But look, if you're doing a reality show...
I feel for him.
If you're doing a reality show, how you do it is you have like the last person picked. You know, you're oh, they're playing it like he's the underdog. This guy's going to like win in the end. Mm-hmm. That's how it goes. That's how a reality show goes. You don't have like, you're the loser. You're going to be the loser, loser, loser. You lost. Go. It's like, what's that? That's bullshit. There's no drama to it. It sucks. So, okay. So they bring...
Well, I always think it's bullshit that there's a person gone in the first show.
Oh, why is that?
Well, because no one's had a chance to settle in, to do, you know, to mm-hmm. figure things out, to find their place. You know, there's that TV show here in Canada that's quite popular called Canada's Worst Driver.
Yes.
And so they bring all these terrible drivers to this rehabilitation center, and then one of them is sent home in the first show. You're thinking, they're terrible drivers. Do they really improve in a week or however long between shows? I don't really know how long the...
Though it's a reverse on that show in that you get sent home because you're good. Like, mm-hmm. they play it like you don't want stay. So you don't feel bad for the person being sent home.
No, you don't feel bad for them. But at the same time, you feel like, did they really learn anything? They were there for a week.
Yeah.
Do they get over their bad habits or whatever fears or problems they
Perhaps
were having that made them a bad
shamed
driver?
Shamed a little bit.
A little bit shamed? I don't know.
But on the Gilbert Gottfried one, here's what happened. So they're sitting and Rachel gives them advice, right? Which is like, you got to make a meal that's going to pop. And so, you know.
I think you mean, you got to make a meal that's going to pop.
Now, is that Guy or Rachel you're doing?
That's Rachel.
It's both. Sound exactly the same. The only reason they do that show is to prove
she
they're not the same
She doesn't
person.
Say, it's money.
Yeah, she always sounds like she really needs a lozenge.
This burger's got to come from Flavortown. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
So, and you can tell them apart because one of them has their sunglasses on the back of their head for no damn reason. And it's indoors.
He has back eyes.
Does he?
Yeah.
Okay. I love that song. I believe that's the Eagles. So.
How does that song go?
So the back eyes, baby's got back eyes. Oh, wait. I should have done Baby's Got Back. For fuck's sake. It was an obvious callback. It was an obvious callback. Shit. If I edited this show, God damn it. So anyway, they're all sitting around. And it's like, what do you want to make? And the one guy who's the smug guy, Dylan whatever, he's just like, I could make a pâté froid de boobie de boobie de boo. Okay, show off, McFuckstick. You go do your thing. And then someone, I could
Dylan?
Make something. It's a guy. I think he's married to...
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, the Tory Spelling. I believe that.
Dean. His name is Dean.
Dean McActy Schmacty. Who cares a fuck? Like, he's good at... He's really...
Dean Dean McAlton. Oh, forget it.
Yeah, exactly.
I was trying to
Dean McAltoid. He's surprisingly strong. So it's him, and he knows how to cook like nobody's business. So you don't care, right? You're like, well, he's fine. No big drama. And so they go through the list, and Gilbert goes, they're like, what can you make, Gilbert? And he goes, I don't know. And it's like, well, can you make anything? I could make an eggplant parmesan. And they all like shake their heads like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. Eggplant parmesan. You're dumb. Dumb, dumb, dummy, dumb, dummington. So he like, you know, takes the bullet there. And then like they go another way around. It's like, so Gilbert, have you thought of anything you can make? I could make a peanut butter sandwich. And they go, yeah, you could make that. And Rachel goes, with like a cinnamon crust on it, like a cinnamon toast kind of crust. You could fancy it up, I guess. And so, he makes it, right? Yeah. And they eat it and they're like, well, it's just like, what's he making? Why is he making? And Rachel's doing this too. Like, I don't know why he made this. Cause you told him to, you sold him out. You threw him out under the food truck. Oh, how dare you? And they're talking, it's really well done, but eh. And so he's one of the...
It wasn't money.
So he's one of the two guys to get voted off at the end, right? By the way, you also had to perform in the dinner theater show and he got the most laughs. So
from Ian.
So it's like the gag then is not a gag, but the end bit is these two people have to compete and it's like make the best midnight snack. And so Gilbert looks at the ingredients and goes, "Well, how about a peanut butter sandwich?" And it's hilarious that he's like, you know, and so he makes the same thing again. And so the other person works super hard, makes their thing, and they're eating the things. They're like, ironically, this is actually a really good late night snack. He's not wrong. But yeah, they vote him off. And this is like, oh, shit. I would have loved for the creativity and the balls of making the same thing twice. He should have stayed on. But I just didn't like that the whole drama thing was like, he's bad, he's bad, he's bad, he's bad, yeah. You're gone. Well, fuck off then. Because you got to like have someone to relate to. And the people watching, they don't know how to cook really either. Mm-hmm. But you got to reward a little bit of like guts and creativity.
Yeah.
So boo to that show.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're against it.
I am against it.
You're coming down against it.
I used to like the Rachel Ray show as well. I used to like the 30-minute meals because I could always see something that I could like remember and make easily enough.
Don't watch it.
Did you ever watch a guy's cooking show? I know you like D&D. D-D-D? D-D-D-D.
I'm a big fan of Dungeons & Dragons and Dives.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
What did you ever watch his guy's Big Bite or whatever he did before?
No.
Ever watched Minute to Win It?
No.
Okay.
I have less time in my life than you, apparently.
Yeah.
I have to watch all the seasons of Breaking Bad, so I don't have time to watch Guy's Big Bite.
And I can't remember what it was today.
And also,
was...
you know, Pride and Prejudice.
Yes, of course. Well, I was looking at the TV today, and they had like about three shows in a row. They were on like Minute to Win It, and I forget the other two, but it was like they all rhymed. It was like all rhyming shows.
Minute to Win It, Chicken Winner Winner Chicken Dinner.
Yeah.
And
Love It or Shove It. And you,
they're
you
all hosted by guys.
You go on a date on top of a building.
Uh-huh.
Everyone's wearing a parachute, and you either fall in love or you shove the person off the building.
Ooh!
And that, but they have a parachute.
Oh, that's good.
That, and if they answer three questions, they can pull the cord on the way down.
Here's your first question: are you ready? Yes, I'm ready. Are you sure you're ready? I'm ready. Your first question is: would you tell me that question?
Yep.
That was him hitting the ground.
Wow! Oh, I thought they just shit their pants. That's embarrassing.
Okay. And then after that.
People ask, like, where do we get our sound effects for this show? It's all Dave's mouth.
It's on me.
It's all Dave's mouth.
There's this person I loved as a child. A teacher played a record for me when I was... And I can't remember his name now. I think his last name was Harrison. And he did sound effects. That was his shtick. He had a microphone. It was a stereo mic. He could pan it with his fingers. He could pan it side to side while he was performing.
Mm-hmm.
And he would just do like a bit, like a train coming, and he would do the whole and all that kind of stuff. This is the 50s. Trains were more familiar to people, you know.
Right.
Nowadays, it'd be like, what's a train? But he would do things like a doorknob falling off the door
mm-hmm.
and landing on the ground. So it would have that clunk, clunk, and then it would roll like that. And he could do two kinds. He could do a... one kind of doorknob, then he could do a brass doorknob, and they would have different sounds.
Wow.
And yeah, he did like a whole...
Would he set them up with like, and now a doorknob falling off?
No, because he'd be telling a story.
Ah.
He'd be telling a story, and he would do the sound effects as he was telling you the story.
Nice.
And
was he British?
No, he was American.
Sounds like a British thing to do.
And I think he did like a lot of dinner theater sort of performances, because it seems like there's a lot of clinking and clanking of cups and glasses and stuff while he's doing his act.
Ah.
And I have an autographed album.
How?
Well, I was talking to someone, and I mentioned I had an autograph album by him, because he also knew this person. I wish I could remember his name.
By the way, a siren's going by. That is not one of us doing a sound effect, so take a drink.
That was me, actually. I was doing that sound effect.
I'm sorry we haven't talked about our childhoods yet this episode. Once again, the drinking
but they've
game
had
for
two
this
drinks.
Show is...
They've had two drinks already.
Yeah, two sirens, two drinks.
Yeah.
We have not talked about our childhood. That may still happen. Continue.
If there's a third...
Wait, this happened when you were a child. Take a drink.
If there's a third siren, you get to have four drinks.
Okay.
Should be exponential.
I hope none of you are driving while listening to this podcast.
Yes.
I can't believe I
with
forgot
a bottle
that you
of
were.
Scotch.
This is a childhood story you're telling.
It is in a way, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it got played for me in school. Mm. And I liked it so much, I was talking to someone about it, and their dad had the record as well.
Oh.
And so then I listened to it at their dad's place. And then I found the record myself. I've actually got two copies of it because one wasn't so great. Mm. They're all signed. And I was talking to someone about that, and they said, well, it's actually harder to find one that isn't signed because he sold them.
Oh.
When he was traveling and stuff like that, or you could do mail order and get them. And so when he sold them, he would sign them.
All right.
And so most of the ones you'll see by him are signed.
Now, I'm going to ask you to try and find that a clip from that and put it on on our page.
I will.
And I will counter with a clip of Michael Winslow.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
From the Don Heron show. Those of you that don't remember who Michael Winslow is, Police Academy, he's the sound effects guy.
That's right.
I was looking the other day and for old Don Heron clips, because I used to go to those shows as a child, take a drink. His stand-up is terrible.
Well, yeah, because he had kind of one shtick, right?
It's unbelievably terrible. Like his lead, like all the sound effects he's doing.
Great.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
The lead-ins to them. Unbelievably terrible.
He should have had a writer, is what you're saying.
Or just do the sound effects.
Or
no
a
need
writer.
To lead from one bit to the other.
Okay.
You're fine. Just get into it. Here's a little thing about why comedy contests are bullshit. Every so often there will be a stand-up comedy contest.
You're on a tear tonight.
Well, when I bring up Michael Winslow, I like to do this. Because Michael Winslow is an amazingly talented person.
Did he win a contest?
Well, let me give this point, and then we can...
Okay.
Here we go.
Okay.
You are jumping the rails, as you would do if we knew what trains were.
Right.
All right.
They go like this, Ian. They go...
So they're made of pigs. That sounds like a pig having sex.
I know. It wasn't very good.
Do your impression of a pig having sex now, and let's see if it sounds like a train. No. It's very similar, Dave. It's very similar to your train.
You missed a part of it. This...
Sweet! Okay.
Sweet!
All right. So, making bacon. So, what I'm saying is, every so often they'll have a comedy contest, like a stand-up comedy contest, and the stand-up comics will come out locally or like around the world at whatever stand-up comedy contest you have. And the person who will win this contest, and there's nothing wrong with that, is usually a novelty act. Usually someone who is like a magician or a musician or a statistician or a physician or a dietitian who just goes,
just those four.
Any fatties in the audience? What you should do is lower your sugar intake. Do it gradually. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but here's the thing. Is Michael Winslow the greatest stand-up comedian of all time? I will answer that. No, he is not. Yet, if you had Michael Winslow in any comedy contest in the world, Michael Winslow would win that comedy contest because he's amazing. Because
he can make helicopter sounds.
That's right. And he can do a whole Jimi Hendrix thing with his mouth.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
But he's not better than a Louis C.K. But if you had Louis C.K. and him together, Louis C.K. would not win that comedy contest, which is why comedy contests are bullshit.
Okay.
In the end. That is my... That
end
is,
of rant.
End of... Well, that was a very quiet
end
rant.
End of rant, everyone.
That's right. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with comedy contests. I understand that's how you get people in. But, you know, I'm just saying, if someone's a comedy contest winner, they might be a dat fan.
Anyone who wants to respond to that, please write to And That's How Ian Sees It, care of Sneaky Dragon.
If you're a member of the Dat Fan Club, please do.
Dat Fan Club?
Yeah, he was the first winner of Last Comic Standing. Then he went on The Tonight Show and he didn't really have enough material to do a set.
Really?
Basically, yeah, he wasn't ready. And then,
for The Tonight Show?
Not really.
How much material do you need for The Tonight Show? You just do 5 minutes, don't you?
Yeah, but you need a really good 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
You can't have any you can't have any...
But if you think if he won Last Comic Standing, you would have a good, solid 5 minutes. He just won a contest against other comedians.
That's right. But there's a difference between the set you do for a contest and the set you do for We Now Know You're Good.
Okay.
There's a prove yourself set, and then there's a, hey, we expect you to be good set.
Okay.
One is, we're hoping you're good. Oh, you surprised us. Hooray for you. And one is the, okay. And if you come out with that desperate, then it's like, wait, whoa. But it works for a contest. It's a very different set.
Okay. And his name was Dat?
Dat, D-A-T, Fan, I think P-H-A-N.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Dat Pan?
Fan.
Dat Fan.
Dat Fan. Hence my fan club joke.
Oh.
From 30 seconds ago.
I'm sorry. I just did not
get
it.
There's no need for listening. I feel like one of your daughters. I feel like you're going to kick the video games off my computer.
Off your desk.
Yeah.
And
what video games do you play or have you played that you like?
What video games have I played that I like?
Yeah. Like what are your favorite video games? Just curious when we're talking about video games. What do you like?
Burnout.
Yep. Burnout's a good game. That's a racing game. It has some nice slow-mo elements to it.
I like that you can crash into things.
And they reward you for it.
Yes.
Yeah. They want you to rear end other cars.
Yeah. Those are my favorite ones. I don't like the games where you get in trouble for smashing into things. Mm-hmm. Like the earlier versions of Burnout aren't as fun as the later versions where they realize, oh, people really like crashing into things. We should encourage that rather than discourage
it. Which is the difference between that and the Gran Turismo, I think, games.
Which is just boring.
Well, the problem with that is they've got the cars, like the actual cars.
Yeah.
And so they get the license to the cars and no one wants to see their car get smashed up.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, you can't smash up our car and show that it explodes if you ram it five times.
Yeah.
So no dice on that.
Okay.
So you need Burnout to have the cars go blah bloom.
It's fun.
It is.
I like the Guitar Hero / Rock Band.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put them both together.
What's your favorite instrument to play on that? Guitar, or do you like the drums?
I enjoy the guitar. Drums I cannot do. I just not coordinated enough to do the drumming.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy the guitar, and I guess I enjoy vocals as well.
It's actually kind of counterintuitive, apparently, the drumming. If you get a real drummer, it really messes them up to play the
drums. Is that right? Okay.
Same with guitar players, too.
Probably.
Where they're like, oh!
Yeah.
Which is why they got now the games where you actually have the guitar.
Okay. I got to the point in Guitar Hero where I was playing and I could play so quickly, I was going ahead of my mind. Do you know what I mean? Like, my mind couldn't keep up with how fast my fingers were going.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of fun for a while.
That's what happens with musicians, too.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you just train your fingers to that point, which... And then...
Have you ever heard Beatles Rock Band? You play that one?
Yeah, well, we played that once.
That's fun.
For some reason, I had to sing all of the Abbey Road medley, the whole side two medley. I thought we were just doing one song, so I was like, oh, this will be kind of fun. Let's just do... what does it start with? I guess it starts with You Never Give Me Your Money, or maybe... Yeah, I guess... so we just kind of started doing that. I said, oh, this will be kind of fun to sing. And then I end up singing the whole 20-minute medley, you know? And the problem when you're singing along with things like that, it's different than if you're just singing by yourself. Because when you're singing with music, you tend to sing a little bit higher.
Oh, okay.
To try, because you're trying to harmonize with the music. And so you get your voice up, so you're singing like that. And so when it goes higher, you're up here.
You never give me your money.
There you go. You see? And you got my...
give me your sweet attention. I don't know the words. I don't know the words to things.
Only give me your invitation.
Invitation?
Yeah. And in the middle of the celebration, I break down. But see, when I'm singing lower. But if I was singing with a song, I would be singing up like you. Yeah. And so then you find yourself kind of, you trap yourself into this, because it's, you know, once you do that, it's reading what you're singing is, you know, okay, you're in this octave. And so now it wants you to go up higher as, you know, as Paul McCartney's voice goes up. And the other kind of cheat is that the Beatles sped their voices up when they sang. Like a song like When I'm 64, they actually sped up the voice so it sounds younger.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And because
this is good trivia, everybody.
Well, they did it all the time. It was called very speeding. And so they would slow down or speed up the recorder while they were singing. And so when they played it back at normal speed, it would slightly speed it up or slightly lower it. And so, for that song. So when you're singing along with it, you're like, gee, he could sure sing high. Well, not really. It's just that his voice was treated in the studio and sped up slightly just to give it a younger sound and make it more peppy, because the song is kind of peppy. So you wanted that.
Did they start doing that after they stopped performing live?
Oh, yeah. That's when most of the studio tricks and things. Like, if you listen to Revolver, which was probably their last... I guess Rubber Soul was the last album they toured with, and because there's stuff from Japan of them playing badly the songs from Rubber Soul, and it's not really their fault. It's just that their studio techniques outstrip their stage, you know, their ability to perform on stage. I mean, they're still playing with the amps that they probably were using in Hamburg while they're performing, you know, 4 years later. There's none of the technology had caught up yet. You know, it was still probably 2 years later that before, like, the Marshall amps came out that let you play really loudly in a concert setting so the audience could hear your guitars and stuff like that.
Why I'm giggling right now is just a little, I'm just going to say this memory, and I was not a child, so you'd have to drink during this. But it was a date I went on when I was like, I think 20.
Okay.
And it was this girl I sort of knew, and so we decided to finally go on this date. And she went, okay, there's two things I got to tell you. I go, all right, here we go. And she go, number one, I'm scared of clowns, and really scared of clowns.
Okay.
So don't have clowns around. Like, even like, maybe funny, have a clown around, like, as a joke. Don't do it. Like, I'm really terrified of clowns. I'm like, okay, I respect that. All right. And two, Revolver is the best Beatles album ever.
I would agree with you.
And I'm not going to hear anything different about that. You're not going to convince me Sgt. Pepper's is the best.
No way.
You're not going to convince me anything else is the best. The White Album's best. You're not going to do this. It's the Revolver is the best Beatles album. And if we disagree on that, this is over. We can just end this right now. That and clowns. And I went, okay. And actually, I think I did say at that point, is there any possibility of sex tonight? And she went, it's possible. I went, completely agree. Revolver, greatest album. And you know what? To hell with clowns. I am willing to have a clown-free life. If their McDonald's commercial comes on, screw it.
Was she even scared of Ronald McDonald?
I didn't want to question it because there was still a possibility of sex.
Yeah.
So I was like, we're not going to go. Like, I know where the McDonald's are in town. We're not going to go near them. Mm-hmm. We will go to Wendy's.
Yeah.
And where it was clown-free environment. Everything will be fine.
Well, I would agree with her. I do think that Revolver is the very best Beatles album. I know that Sgt. Pepper's is popular, and it was kind of like...
I'm sorry you guys couldn't have gone out.
It caught on that moment, yeah, because I hate... but, you know, it just... Because Sgt. Pepper came out, this is a perfect moment where it kind of caught people's imagination. It just had that timeliness to it, you know. And in a way, Sgt. Pepper ruined music for the rest of the 60s.
Ooh, that's a big statement. Well, Follow it up.
Well, because...
This is an essay. This is like an essay. You've done your topic sentence. Now let's...
I wanted to talk more about Revolver, but okay.
Okay, you'll get back to Revolver.
What I want
to
say about Sgt. Pepper is that because every band that came after the Beatles, or even, you know, like, say, let's say the Rolling Stones, they felt that they had to make their Sgt. Pepper. They weren't a Beatles band, you know, so they made their Satanic Majesty's Request, which is an okay album. It has some pretty good songs on it, but it's no way as good as a real Rolling Stones album, you know, and... Other bands like
that. And what makes it different from a regular Rolling? Because they just did a thematic thing and just like.
Well, they wanted to be psychedelic. So the songs are stretched out and they're full of Mellotron and they're all kind of like 2,000 Miles from Home, I think it's called. I can't remember the name of the song, but it's from that album. There are good songs from it. She's a Rainbow. That's a great. That's probably my favorite Rolling Stone song. It comes from that album. At least I think it is. Might have been a single from that time period. But, you know, just. It was
if
wrong
David
for them.
David is wrong, please.
Please correct me. I was happy to be corrected, but
once
I just
again,
think
we have
that
four computers, we could look that right up now, folks.
I just think that they're better when they are playing to their strengths, which was as a gutsy blues-based band that had a certain pop had a certain pop intelligence behind it, but still were basically a blues band, you know, and had that kind of rootsy, gutsy, you know, kind of rough element to them. And they didn't need to be the psychedelic Beatles kind of thing. They didn't need that. And it was a wrong turn for them.
So now what makes Revolver the greatest Beatles album?
Just
David,
in terms of songs.
I've got all the Beatles albums in front of me. Dave, I'm going to pick up the White Album instead. Should I do that or why shouldn't I, Dave? I'm reaching for it right now. What should I do?
Well, the White Album's fine.
Well,
I can't put down a Beatles album. Yeah,
I should just take it.
If you want to listen to a good album.
All right, goodbye, Dave.
If you want to listen to a great album. But if you want to listen to a great album.
Yes.
Like, this is, think of the songs
I only have enough money, by the way,
just
Dave.
Just think of the
one.
Songs. Yeah, that's the thing. You can't afford White Album, then it's a double album.
Oh, it's more?
It costs you more.
Okay, so I shouldn't pick up a Sgt. Pepper. I shouldn't pick up an Abbey Road.
The problem with Sgt. Pepper is the songs, it doesn't have as strong a song.
Okay,
lineup.
Fuck it. Smash.
Smash it.
All right.
Throw it away.
All right, now I got an Abbey Road here. Mm-hmm. Should I not pick up an Abbey Road? Like, I've only got enough money for
once
one.
Once again, Abbey Road's okay, but if you want to listen to Maxwell's Silver Hammer, which I don't think you do very often, or Octopus's Garden, which is okay, but rather tiresome, you know, in terms of all across quality, you will never beat Revolver.
Name all the songs on Revolver, go.
I don't think I can do that, but Taxman, Tomorrow Never Knows, For No One, Eleanor Rigby, Here, There, and Everywhere, She Said, She Said, Good Day Sunshine, did I say Taxman?
Yes.
Sorry. Good Day Sunshine, Got to Get You Into My Life, Dr. John, I'm Only Sleeping, I'm running out of ones I can remember now.
I think you're just making up.
There's 14. There's 14 songs on it, so I'm probably close. The weird thing
good
is
value.
When I was a kid, I had Revolver.
Take a drink.
When I was a teenager, I had Revolver, and it was under 30 minutes long, because three of the songs had been taken off the American version to fill out in a different album. So I never knew the whole Revolver until the CDs came out.
What songs were taken off?
Dr. John, I'm Only Sleeping, and Your Bird Can Sing, which were all John Lennon songs, were all taken off. So it seemed really unbalanced when you listen to it. To the American version, because it was mostly Paul McCartney and George Harrison songs, because the three John Lennon songs had been taken off and put onto.
I listened when I was a young man. Don't drink anymore, folks.
You're laying on the floor now.
When I was a young man, we had a hippie who lived behind us.
Okay.
And at one point, his parents went, "You've listened to them damn records too much," and gave me all of his.
Wow, that's lucky.
So it was a lot of like Rolling Stone, a lot of Beatles.
Yeah.
And so I never listened to them on albums. I just listened to them at 45. 45s and play them to death.
That's great, though. Yeah. And, you know, most of the Beatles 45s were never on an album. They were in North America, but in England, they did when they first started, they did two albums a year, mm-hmm. two 14-song albums a year, and then they had to put out four singles every year. And because they felt it was cheating, they never put their singles onto the albums. So songs like I Want to Hold Your Hand, mm-hmm. or I Feel Fine, yeah. or Day Tripper.
All of them. We got them all.
They were never on an album. They were only on singles.
We danced to those a lot.
Ah, I love those songs. In fact, I didn't even know... I wasn't until I was helping a friend fix a jukebox. He got a jukebox given to him from his, by his uncle. And so we fixed it and got it working together. And his uncle gave him some 45s for it mm-hmm. to play in it. And one of them was Day Tripper, backed with B/W, backed with We Can Work It Out. I just blew my mind that there were these two great songs. Because you're used to, like, if you bought singles when you're a kid, and I didn't buy a lot of singles because I didn't have a lot of money when I was younger, even though I did a paper route. I had to give my money to my mom and we got back an allowance out of what we earned.
Right. Because your mom had a drug habit.
Well, she bought her clothes with the money we earned.
Wink, wink, clothes. Paper route. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Mother's Little Helper. Rolling yes. Stone song.
That's a Rolling Stone song, yes. Just before her 19th nervous breakdown.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you see your mother baby standing in the shadows?
Keep going.
With what?
I don't know. The only Rolling Stone song that comes to mind for me, because I used to love playing it as a kid, was Stupid Girl.
Oh, really? Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Because here's what I'd always do. I'd always go, hey, Lee, yeah. They wrote a song about you. Like, I'd fool her every time in some way. Just like, yeah. So anyway, it's just like, oh, that's weird. What? It's a song. Yeah. It's called The Lee Song. Is it? Yeah. Let me just play this way. I'd play Stupid Girl. Look at that stupid girl. Yeah. That's for you.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm not making it up. They wrote the song for you.
Earlier song.
Ooh. She gets so mad.
But she never broke the record.
No,
you shows remarkable
break,
restraint.
You wouldn't break things.
Yeah,
no.
You wouldn't do that. So, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, it just blew my mind that this, you know, because I'd never heard the songs, I'd never heard them on the radio or anything, so they were brand new to me. Day Tripper mm-hmm. was brand new to me. In fact, I remember the first time I heard "She's a Woman" on the radio because I'd never heard it before. You know, and I actually kind of did that with my daughters. Like, even though I love the Beatles, I never played them a whole lot around the girls because I wanted them to discover them on their own.
Yeah,
you know, because. It just
and so instead, they were, fell in love with New Direction.
That's
nice
right.
job, Dad.
One Direction.
One Direction.
Yeah.
What did I say?
You said New Direction.
Oh, the Bobby Brown.
But my youngest daughter Phyllis, she actually did go through a Beatles phase. That's where the Paul M. Lover story comes from.
Right.
Where my wife found the. Found the tell email
super,
address.
Tell it super fast.
I'll tell it again. My wife found the email address Paul M. Lover on the computer. Immediately assumed it was me using a disguised name to hook up with some imaginary family that lives outside of our own family. Started contemplating.
Wait, you're going to hook up with an entire family?
Yeah. Well, my wife believes that I have a whole other family that I have to visit every once in a while and go in space. That's, you know, because I'm not home that much because I am working and stuff like that.
Sure, so. You are. Okay.
And so
she also thinks you got a podcast.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why we have to do this. That's why I do it so quickly and so slapdashed.
Yeah.
Because I have to go and visit my other family.
That's right.
So, yeah, she was planning our divorce. She was pretty much dividing our worldly possessions.
That's
while
right.
laying in bed stewing over this.
She was setting your books on fire.
For hours.
Yeah, that's the worst stew.
And then, fortunately, my daughter came home before I did. My daughter Phyllis came home and
she sensed tension in the air.
She sensed
there was this. She just heard this in the air.
My wife through gritted teeth, I'm sure, said, "Phyllis, you don't happen to know anything about this email address, Paul M. Lover, do you?" And then Phyllis said, "Oh yeah, that's my email address, Paul McCartney Lover." So that phew. Luckily, I came home a little after that to get the humorous side of the story. Oh, how we laughed! So funny.
And then we plastered over the holes in the wall. Fist-sized holes.
That's right. We had to go and fill in some...
Yeah, tape all my pictures, face back into the pictures.
I had to replace quite a few records that were broken over a knee.
Right.
Yeah.
Though you never explained the Ringo Banger email address. What was that all about?
Let's not go into that.
Okay. You're just a big
fan. I'm sorry you brought it up.
You're just a big fan of the movie Ringu.
Ringu, that's right. Ringu Bangu.
And Ringu was, of course, taken. Yeah. So you just went for Ringo.
Yeah.
Exactly. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong. So many Ringu fans are there.
So we're past an hour.
Yeah, we're time to wrap it up.
Is it time to wrap it up?
Well, we've had a couple of long shows.
The one thing that we said we were going to talk about beforehand, we did not talk about.
We did not talk about.
That's fine.
Oh, well.
We'll save it.
Yeah.
Save it for later. Put a pin in it.
For never.
Save it for never and for later. once again, later on this year, we're doing a couple of live shows. Hope you can come out to see that. I've got my Sideswipe improv comedy show at the Storm Crow on February 12th. We're doing that over there. Hope you can come and see that.
Sounds good.
Critical Hit Show happens the last Wednesday of the month. We did one last night our time. And we had our biggest house ever.
I was going to say, it sounds like you had a great turnout.
Yeah, we had 230 people show up at the Rio Theater.
That's nice.
Which was a thrill.
Yeah.
Yeah. We ended the show with 12 people coming up and playing this giant worm that attacked us, and it was good because I thought like, oh, okay, we're going to be able to beat this worm easily, all because one of our mage created the image of a robin, and then I got the audience to do the sounds of a robin. It was like, oh, now they'll scare the worm away, but something screwed up and it did not quite kill it, and I'm like, oh, we're fucked. Now, because that's all we got. So I noticed that in my
should have had to imitate Rockin' Robin.
Ah, yes.
Sitting in a treetop all
day long, hopping and bopping and singing a song. So I realized I had this power that I never use called make water, basically. Make a small amount of water. And I went like, oh, I'll drown the giant worm.
I have that skill too.
To which, oh, cool. Well, you're building on what we're going to say. So I said that to our dungeon master. He went, you cannot make enough water. And I went, what if the entire audience pees on this worm? So they made the sound effect of peeing. So the giant end monster that we had got peed on till it drowned.
Wow.
And that's how we ended the show with 230 people. So money well spent, people.
And a lot of happy Germans in the audience.
They're never happy. Any of you guys get taught about Hitler? Yeah, we know about Hitler all the damn time.
We all know about Hitler.
Yeah, that's a big fucking thing.
It's something that happened.
Yeah, we do.
Of course, we feel terrible about it.
Do you have signs in your restaurant say "must wash Hans"? What's that like for a guy named Hans? So he must get a good laugh out of that.
I don't see as a humor on that.
All right, everybody, clap your Hans,
and let's end the show.
Oh, on that.
On that note.
Oh boy. Okay.
You don't want to end with that note?
No, it's fine.
You want to carry on?
No, I'll just
get. You have some more puns?
I just got a couple more plugs.
Oh, okay. Quick plugs. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Simpsons and Futurama comics, the latest issues. I'm in both of those. And if you're an American, if you're a Yankee,
I'm an American.
Good for you. If you're a Yankee Doodle Dandy, on Comixology right now, the Death of Comic Book Guy, Comic Book Guy, the comic book is now on Comixology. You can't get that in Canada, unfortunately. But if you're in the States, you can download it. It's a comic I wrote that I'm quite happy with. And that is on there now. So go on to your websites or your iPads and download that if you'd like.
Cool.
All right. Rapper, man.
Okay. Well,
Rapper up, rap battle.
Okay.
Wrap it up, rap style.
Is everyone ready? My name is Dave, and I'm here to say all white people rap this way. I don't think that we'll ever find a better way to end this show is behind. Oh, my God. Thanks, Ian. You can stop. The humiliation is complete.
Train, and pigs fucking.
That's from our new song, They're Porkin'. Good night, everyone.
Reading while we're doing
I'm gonna do some reading.
All right.
I find our show's a little dull.